Yes, Senator Johnson, Representative Kamega. I'm Ed Friedman. I'm the chairman of Friends of Merrymeeting Bay. I'm not going to read through my testimony. I'll mention a couple of things, then I'm going to tell you a story. True story. Couple of things, though. First, why are we here from Friends of Merrymeeting Bay? Well, as you know, the bay is downstream here a bit and very tied to the Gulf of Maine. And anything that is about the health of the Gulf of Maine, we're interested in. The St. Croix historically had the largest amount of alewife habitat in the world. Granted, the alewife is an East Coast fish. So, compromise, there's been some talk about compromise. I think it's important to remember that compromise, a legitimate compromise, presupposes two reasonably equal, accurate set of conditions. And we don't believe that's the case here. There's a past policy has been based on a preponderance of fiction versus fact, superstition versus science, and so forth. To clarify something around the two bills, we asked Representative McDonald to introduce what became LD 748. The way that was presented originally, it was not emergency legislation, but we had an effective date in it of May of this year. So with that conflict, we were very strongly in favor of seeing the river open in May. That got slightly rewritten to also become an emergency bill. For all intents and purposes, it is the same as the LD 72. Choose whichever language you want, but please open the river this year. I fly a helicopter commercially, and one of the things I do is to do eagle nest surveys in the spring. I've been doing that for quite a while. And I kind of go from Auburn over towards Augusta and Sebastopol River, down the Kennebec, and back up the Androscoggin to Auburn. And I do that in cooperation with Charlie Todd of the Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. Well, about 5 weeks ago, I was out kind of on a really early run for when eagles actually incubate, just to see what was happening, because last year our first eagle nesting was in Gardner in February. And I came down, it was getting late, it's really getting gray, the time hadn't changed, it was about 5:30, I came over the area where I live in the bay. The Androscoggin was really murky, I wanted to get back before dark and I had a ways to go. And I took a low pass over one of the nest sites there on a place called Bald Head. And there was a bird there, and I hadn't seen a lot of birds, but I'd seen some in this loop, which is composed of about 45 nests by now, which is great. So there was a bird on the nest, not incubating, but just sitting there. And then I flew out over this little island in the middle of the bay called Brick Island, flying like a treetop level, thinking I'll just pass over the nest, it's probably going to be empty, and I'll keep going. Came over the island exploded with eagles. 25 eagles came up out of the trees. Pull up on the collective, pull up on the cyclic, you know. Whoa, and count at the same time. And I counted 24 juveniles and one adult. And I come to find a few weeks later, talking to someone in the area, that apparently someone had been baiting coyotes with frozen deer parts there, and the eagles were attracted to that. The eagles are attracted to food. Flashback about 2-3 years earlier, I'm doing a survey up, and we go up to Sebastopol. And there's three nests there, one down just above where the former Fort Halifax site was, one halfway up to Benton, and one off in the fields near Benton. About a mile below Benton, we start to run into eagles. And we counted 50 eagles flying with Charlie. And it was shocking. He'd never seen an aggregation that large. I certainly hadn't. And it was incredible. And that has been maintained. And this is when you heard earlier about the runs of recovered alewives from 1 million to 3 million, really, passing over Benton. And they're constrained by Benton. They still have to go over up a fish lift. So, doing the best we can with what we've got. A couple of weeks later, I'm talking to a friend and colleague of mine who is running the fishway at Benton. And he's standing on the dam with his cell phone while he's talking to me. He's looking down, and he's seeing the first striped bass, a couple dozen striped bass below Benton. First striped bass to be there in over 160 years from before Edwards Dam came out. They're up there chasing alewives. Okay? Anywhere from 14 to 40 inches for the stripers. you watch the, it was tail end of the alewife run, so there's a transition to the blueback herring, which come a little bit later often. He watches a striper chase the blueback. Chases the blueback, swims into the shallows to try and get away in the rocks. And he does. It's all feeling good, safe. A great blue heron flies down, lands, stabs the blueback. He's also watching a young seal pup, miles above any kind of salt water, up there. Catch a blueback, let it go, catch it again, let it go. It's learning its trade. And the picture I want to give you is that of a rejuvenated, restored river, and what that can look like, and what it once looked like, and what we can do, I think, again on the St. Croix, where there used to be large populations of both alewives and eagles. Someone earlier mentioned something about the quality of the food, the alewife food. This is critical because, as you probably know, we have fish consumption advisories all over the state for mercury, for all fish, and in some areas for dioxin PCBs. There's residual contaminants out there as well as the mercury. The alewives come along just at the right time when the young eagles are needing to be fed, the other young birds. I should say, back at Benton, we saw a ton of ospreys as well, not fighting, plenty of food for everybody. The alewives are providing an ocean origin type food that is really clean, right at the critical time when everything in Maine, all the wildlife species are having a young and need clean food, not old contaminated fish, but fish right in from the ocean. So I can't stress that enough, and I hope that you will, vote unanimously to support 72 or 748 or some combination thereof that brings unlimited alewife access back to the St. Croix this year. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer a question if you have any.
Okay. Are there any questions? Professor Dennis Kruger.
Thank you. Sorry if this is not a alewife question, but it's an aviation question. You're using a helicopter to count eagles. Doesn't that how do you avoid harassing the eagles?
First of all, typically we're counting, doing nest counts. The adults, when they're there, are very locked into being on their nest. They don't budge at all. And even these non-nesting juveniles, they're the biggest predator around, short of me, I guess. They don't mind. They're not concerned with avian predation. I flew over all these eagles down on Bald Head there, and they were surprised. They flew out of the trees, and they just circled right back into the trees. So that's in contrast to a duck, for example, or a goose, who we would never fly that close to. They are used to avian predation from eagles and hawks. They're very sensitive to that. We wouldn't fly close when there were birds in an eagle nest either, because the young birds could fall out. They could get startled. So we're very cautious about how that's done. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Friedman.
As a PS, have you guys been briefed on landings, commercial landings for fisheries in the state yet?
Some information, I don't know what you've got.
These are all different, but I just printed these out. It's a history of really poor fishery management, mostly. You'll see a lot of spikes where this is sort of a slash and burn fishery, but you may want to take a look at it.